Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Hard to believe that it is already September 7, 2018. Well, today, Friday, again, 2018, September 7. The Nun opens in theaters throughout the United States of America. And this new exorcism flick that is set in 1952 centers on Father Burke and Sister Irene as they travel to a cloistered abbey in Romania to find out why a young nun has committed suicide. Father Burke combines his purportedly deep religious and historical knowledge with Sister Irene's psychic abilities, all in order to combat the demonic evils that they encounter. Well, the nun is, well, it's just proof positive of the biblical illiteracy of the present post-truth culture, which is particularly evident in Hollywood's version of spiritual warfare, all too often seeping into the thinking of Christians who are ill-equipped to think Christianly. But make no mistake, one of the inescapable realities of the Christian worldview is that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let me put that another way. You and I are engaged in a war against an invisible enemy. And ironically, it wasn't all that long ago when Satan seemed out of the picture, all but dead and buried. Sort of the casualty of a modernist mindset bent on rationalizing the supernatural out of existence. But as modernism yielded to the spirituality of postmodernism, Satan has reappeared, and with a vengeance. But the expression of Satan that has emerged is no longer based on a Christian worldview. Instead, a cultural caricature, a caricature driven by the entertainment industry, has now sprung into existence. Of course, we can all think back to one of the defining moments. It was 1973. Well, maybe not everybody. At least I was around then. But this was when The Exorcist hit the silver screen and America was watching breathlessly as Reagan became the poster child for demonization. If you saw the movie, you'll remember the mysterious satanic markings that appeared on Linda Blair. And that was only the beginning, as Hollywood titillated the masses with sexually perverse language and with sensationally produced levitation episodes. The demand for deliverance spurred by The Exorcist may well have died out if it were not for something that followed a few years later, Hostage to the Devil. This was by the controversial Jesuit priest Malachi Martin. And despite his demonstrating a remarkable talent for fabrication, Martin succeeded in fanning the exorcism flame into a veritable inferno. That same year, Ed and Lorraine Warren, billed as the world's most famous demonologists, hit primetime. They pronounced a house in Long Island cursed. and they conducted a television seance on the site. And, of course, there was a media frenzy that ensued, and the Warrens were portrayed as, well, experts in demonology. And in their books and the movies that followed, they told lurid tales of mysterious bathroom markings, of demonic beings that could scratch and claw their victims. They even recast the incubi and succubi of medieval mythology in contemporary prose. Because according to the Warrens, these male and these female sexual demons frequented the homes of middle-class Americans, and they were pillaging women and pleasuring men en masse. In other words, this was the norm. And the fascination with demons in the culture didn't stay in Hollywood. It led to a robust warfare movement within evangelicalism. And this was because evangelicals had lost the ability to think biblically, and therefore they were quickly transformed from cultural change agents and initiators into cultural conformists and imitators. I've said it before, but pop culture oftentimes beckons, and postmodern Christians take the bait. And as a result, the discipleship model of spiritual warfare, which was once championed in America, gave way to a deliverance motif that, well, became a passion for quick fixes instead of exercising spiritual disciplines. And that is essentially the problem. Subjective experiences are notoriously unreliable. And therefore, they must always be tested. Tested in light of the objective truths of the Bible. The key to victory in the invisible war is not found in deliverance. It's found in discipleship. And while we ought to give the devil his due, we ought not to overestimate his power and his province. The covering, and I've written a book about that, the covering described in Scripture as the full armor of God is an impenetrable barrier against which the fiery darts of the evil one are impotent. When we're clothed in the covering, we are invincible. But when we are not, we are but pawns in the devil's malevolent schemes. To put on the covering as a lifestyle assumes not only that you understand what it is, but that you are able to remember each piece of the armor. So every day you can put the full armor of God on and take your stand against the devil's schemes. I think of the belt of truth. You know, as the waist is the center of your body, truth is the center of the full armor of God. Without truth, the covering that protects you from the devil's schemes simply crumples to the ground and leaves you naked and vulnerable. Righteousness. No matter how correct your worldview, if it is not coupled with righteousness, you inevitably forfeit the moral authority to speak. Peace. If your feet are fashioned with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, you can stand firm in distress and disease, in destruction, and even in death. Faith. Remember the ancient shield? Well, it would envelop the body. And in the same way, faith envelops your entire being. So when Satan attacks your head, the hand of faith holds fast to truth. When Satan attacks your heart, the hand of faith holds fast to righteousness. In fact, it might well be said that the shield of faith is the apex of your armor. It's the grace with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. salvation. Just as the bright breastplate of righteousness is a spiritual heart protector, the helmet of salvation is your spiritual head protector. And Scripture, if you're only armed with the puny sword of reason, you stand impotent before an archfiend who has studied you thoroughly, who is intimately acquainted with all your vulnerabilities. But if you are armed with the sword of the Spirit, you're a terror to Satan. You can stand strong in the face of his fiercest temptations. And of course, prayer. Prayer is not merely a piece of the armor, rather it is the thread that weaves the covering into an exquisite tapestry. It is the given, it is the foundation, it is the first principle of God's plan to protect you from evil. The full armor of God, I've written about it in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. You can find it on the web, available for those who support the ministry and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back with answers to your questions.
The major motion picture, Paul, Apostle of Christ, brings first century Rome to the big screen like never before, detailing the last days of the most infamous persecutors of Christians, a man who went on to become Christ's most influential apostle. To receive Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are going to go right to our calls. Before we do want to mention the Christian Research Journal. If you have not subscribed to it, take a look at it on the web at equip.org, or you can subscribe by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. First up, Neil, listening in San Francisco, California, on KDIA. Hi, Neil.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm going to be 63 years old this year, to make it short. I've been a Christian all my life. The question I have is, are you familiar with the scripture that says, man is the head of the household, as Christ is head of the church?
Yes, I am.
So it's non-scriptural for a woman to be a pastor of a church. Am I correct?
Well, I think that's certainly the precedent that you get from the Old Testament, because if you look in the Old Testament, it was the priests who instructed the people in the law of Moses, and they were always men. There are no examples of a priestess in that context, and so that is certainly the precedent that you have. And as I've pointed out many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, there are different ecclesiologies in different churches. But if you follow the church practice from the Judeo-Christian tradition, and you're not innovative, but rather perpetuating that which went on before, you wouldn't have women as pastors. But this is not an ontological issue, because the Bible makes absolutely clear that women and men are ontologically equal. So it is a matter of role. It is not a matter of equality. In Christ, there is no male or female. We are one in Christ. So just as there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, there's no gender distinction in terms of ontology. But obviously, we all have our different roles, and those roles are determined based on what did the church do. And I think it's a very good thing not to be innovative. It's good to use the technologies of the day, but it is not good to try to innovate. I think it's far better that we perpetuate what the church did early on, as opposed to being innovative in terms of what the church does in the present.
Great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let me talk to Brian next, listening in High River, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I listen to you on 1140 AM radio out of High River, which broadcasts over most of southern and central Alberta. My question isn't so much biblical, but a concern that many of our listeners out here, as we enjoy your programming and find it very informative, are now missing you, as your programming has been cut back by half an hour, and you're only on the radio for half an hour here. And would like to say we miss you, would like to see that reinstated to the full hour that we've enjoyed listening to you for years out here.
Well, maybe there's
a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. And is there any way that you're governing body board of directors can see fit to putting it back on the full hour out of High River for most of us in southern Alberta?
Well, you know, there are a couple of things involved here, Brian. One of the things involved is placing the broadcast on many more stations is far easier with a half-hour program than it is with an hour program. But there are also, quite frankly, economics involved. So if you have the resources, certainly an hour program costs a whole lot more than a half-hour program does. But really, the major issue here is syndication. Very, very difficult in today's market to place hour programs as opposed to half-hour programs. The other thing I would say is we're looking into creative ways of allowing people to continue listening to more than just a half hour by switching over to the World Wide Web at equip.org, through our Equip app, through other means in the social media spheres. You know, we continue to add to content in many different ways. One of the ways we're doing this now is with the Hank Unplugged podcast. So, for example, if you want to get in-depth conversations on the topics that I have broached on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you can listen to the Hank Unplugged podcast. And some of those are not just an hour or a half hour, but they're upwards of 90 minutes or sometimes even longer. And they're fascinating discussions with the most interesting people on the planet. I call them the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. So that's another way in which we're producing content. But yeah, I did the broadcast for 30 years, over 30 years for an hour. So it is a big change for me, and I'm just getting used to it myself.
Yeah, no, and many of us up here have enjoyed that for so many years. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, similar situation that I'm in, the radio is about the only way I can grab the time to listen to you on on your programming. And while I'm mobile, running my heavy equipment out here, it's about the only chance I get. So internet isn't always an option.
Well, I would tell you something.
You know, if God was to make the resources available, that at some point you might reconsider doing that for your broadcast. I understand, I guess you're doing just half-hour broadcast pretty much everywhere now?
Yeah, absolutely. And if God does drop a whole lot of money on us as a ministry, we would consider, I mean, every option, because my goal is, and God has given me remarkable energy and enthusiasm. I'm more enthusiastic today about the ministry than I was even 30 years ago, if that's possible. So, we're committed to doing all we can, because this is an epic moment in human history.
Well, I hope he drops a bundle on you, and I hope he drops a lot of more energy on you, because your programming has been extremely informative to, I am sure, millions of people. You've helped a lot of people understand and me for over the years that I've listened to. It's been very interesting to hear some of the topics and speakers that you've had on, as well as a lot of the questions from people all over the States and Canada. I know you don't get a lot of calls from Canada or in southern Alberta, but we are definitely listening.
Well, thank you so much. I'm heartened by your call and by your enthusiasm for our broadcast.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day.
You got it. You know, I was recently reading a book today, and I came across a quote of the day that I wanted to share with you. It's by Jean-Claude Larcher, and it's from a book that my wife has been telling me about. She was reading it when we were in Aegina off the coast of Athens 6 months ago or so. I can't remember how long ago it was, but we're in the middle of the night because of the time change, and she was reading a book, and I was reading a book, and we were sharing quotes from our books. And she was so excited about this book. It was called The Theology of Illness. Well, I didn't pick that book up until it was given to me by Jean-Claude when I was in Crete. I had spoken, and he came up to me and introduced himself to me. And I said, wow, so you're the person that my wife is so excited about. He wrote a book on, again, the theology of illness, and is particularly applicable to me in that I was going through my cancer treatment. But this is what he says, and I find this to be stunning and stirring. He says, though the sin of Adam, or through the sin of Adam, I started out correctly, through the sin of Adam, the power of the devil and of demons was loosed and spread over the whole world to perform wicked deeds within it. Through the work of Christ, the new Adam, the power was broken and subjected once again to the power of the Holy Spirit. Humankind is reunited with God in the person of the incarnate Word and recovers the blessedness of his original state and of his original destiny. I'm going to be doing a Hank Unplugged podcast with Jean-Claude Larcher in the near future, and we will feature that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll also have it up on the web at equip.org. You'll be able to consume it wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. As indicated by our last call by Brian, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply cannot do what God has equipped us to do. And so I'm asking all of you within the sound of my voice to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and for truth by giving in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Some can give large amounts, others small amounts, but together we can make a difference 24/7 around the globe. Again, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you with next week's broadcast.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.